Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Welcome to Victory City Church. If you're tuning in and you're a little confused because you're used to seeing a very handsome guy up here, you are in the right place. I am his wife. My name is Natalie, and I have the honor and the privilege of speaking today and bringing you a word from God. And first, I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of the moms, the grandmas, those who've stepped in as moms, foster moms, adoptive moms. Today is your day. And usually, I don't ask for anything on Mother's Day. It feels kind of funny because I wanted to be a mom, and I really do feel like my kids are my gift, and I just kind of want to sleep in a little bit and then maybe spend the day doing what I want to do, but with my kids. Like maybe we just go on a walk or we just watch movies. But like most of you, I've gotten a lot of those days, spending the day with my kids and my family all day long, homeschooling. So this year I did ask for a gift, and my husband came through, and I'm thankful for that. So today is your day, moms. Dads, if you're listening, you have plenty of time to make the day special. Go make some pancakes and some coffee and run and grab a gift really quick and make the day special for her. Because moms work hard, and we deserve a day. So happy Mother's Day. I want to say happy Mother's Day to my mom. She is the best mom. And if I can be half the mom that she is, half the woman that she is, I will be very successful. She's raised me to love the Lord and to have a happy family and home. So happy Mother's Day to you, Mom. I don't want to overlook a special group of women, and those are the women who are waiting and praying and hoping to be a mom one day. I see you, and I'm praying for you. I'm standing with you, and I believe that one day you will see your miracle come to fruition, and you'll be the best mom to your babies. So happy Mother's Day. We have been in a series called Never Change, and last week Eric jokingly said that I was going to be preaching this week, and I seriously said no, and somehow here I still am, and I'm going to be talking to you today about a growing church. He talked about a pioneering church last week, and in talking about never changing, there are some foundational truths and some foundational things in our lives that should never change as believers. But as a church, we should keep growing as well. So today I feel like the word God has given me is a growing church. I want to be able to look back over this time in my life and any hard season really that causes me to change. And I want to be able to see some personal growth. And I know you do as well. And so there's some things that I'm going to take out of this season and into the next season that have changed, but that have caused some personal growth. So I want to introduce our scripture today. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3, where Paul has gone to Corinth and he's planted a church. And he says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You're jealous of one another. You quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? When one of you says, 'I'm a follower of Paul,' and another says, 'I follow Apollos,' aren't you acting just like people of the world?" Wherever you are, will you just bow your head with me and pray this morning? Dear Lord, I come before you, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to stand here and to deliver a message that I feel was breathed by the Spirit. And I pray, God, that it not be my words that I've written and typed, but it be your words for our church, but for us as individuals, as moms and grandmas and dads and brothers, Father, that we wouldn't just keep evolving and changing, but that we would experience growth in our lives. So I pray, Father, that you anoint this message, that you meet people right where they're at, and that lives be changed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One of my favorite movies whenever I was younger was a movie called Billy Madison. Don't look it up and judge me, but the movie Billy Madison, it's a comedy, it's hilarious. It's about an adult who I like to refer to actually as a kadult. And Billy Madison was of adult age, but he acted like a kid. He had not grown mentally or emotionally. He was still a kid. And when it became time for Billy Madison to actually do adult things like get a job and things like that, he had to repeat first through 12th grade for just a short amount of time in each grade, but he was an adult going back to first grade. And sometimes I look at my oldest son, Winston, he's very tall for his age, and I think of Winston as a Cadol. If you see him with his classmates, it's all these cute little second graders, and there's Winston, and then there's all these cute, and he's very cute, by the way, but there's all these other cute little second graders. He towers above all of them. He's his own Cadol. But Billy Madison was a true Cadol. He acted like a kid, but he wasn't adult. He had changed, but he had not grown. And even though it's a really funny movie, and you'll have to look it up on your own, it's a funny storyline, I think there's some truth to the fact that many of us have changed, but we have not grown. We've changed our physical appearance so we don't look like what we used to. We can look at our old pictures and say, wow, we have really changed. And sometimes we thank God for that, but we haven't actually grown. So in our text, Paul had started this church in Corinth, and he had started it with people who he had said had been called by God to be his own holy people. And he starts the church, and he sets them all up, and he leaves them for a while. And while he was away, his hope and his expectation was that they would grow, that they would mature spiritually, that they would grow in their walk with the Lord and become better followers of Jesus. But we look at verse 1, that when he left them, before, they were just baby Christians. They were new to the faith. They didn't really know how to act. They were new Christians. And he had to feed them spiritual baby food because they couldn't really handle anything stronger. They were new to this way of life, and that was okay. They're not supposed to act like veteran or seasoned Christians. I think as moms, we know that you can't just feed a baby a steak. You have to keep the baby on the milk for a while until they grow. And Paul had hoped to see some progression in the Corinthian church upon his return. But instead, he heard of change, but he saw no growth in them. They were Christians, but they had not matured. You know, as moms and women, we go through a lot of change. Before a man and a woman get married, I think the woman knows that she can change the man, or so she thinks. I can change him. He kind of eats a little weird and maybe slurps his food, but I can change that, no problem. I'll change him. I'll change that. I'll change him. And the man thinks the woman will never change, that we're always going to be this spunky, adventurous, fly by the seat of our pants, excitable woman. But spoiler alert, we change. And that change is because of KIDS kids. We change. Surprise. Not only do our bodies change to sustain life and give birth, but our emotions change. And we start out on what I like to call the emotional roller coaster. For an extended period of time, we change the way we dress, we change our purses, we change our cars so the car seats can fit, we change what we eat, we change our calendars, and our priorities change as well to fit these babies into our lives. And I think it doesn't just happen to moms. We all change. We change our jobs and our hair. We change our cars, we change our nails, we change our churches, and we change our husbands sometimes, we change our wives. We all change. But just because we change all of these things, just because I change things as I become a mom, doesn't make me more of a mom when I have two kids than when I had one kid. I'm still the same amount of mom. And as moms know, we will change. We all change. We all experience change. It's inevitable. And moms have a God-given ability as women, I think, to kind of just roll with the punches. And if we're not careful, we'll change, but we won't grow. And in order to grow in our souls, there are some changes we must be conscious of that we can't just roll with. Some foundational practices and truths in our lives that we must continue to not just change, but to grow. Sometimes change happens around us and without us changing anything at all. It just happens to us. We change without growth. Just because we change those things doesn't mean we're growing. We can't confuse change with growth because change does not always equal growth. We like change when it feels good, when it looks good, when it benefits us, but the change that requires us to grow, we usually try and stay away from because it hurts, it's vulnerable, it's scary, it's unknown. We don't know if we can get to where we think we're supposed to be, so we just stop, we shy away. And I think if we really look at our life, there are some things that keep us from growing. I know for me, comparison and fear are two of the things that have always kept me from growing. You see, we can change when we compare ourselves. We can make significant life-altering changes. In my life, there's been some significant changes that have happened to me, but those changes haven't always produced true, deep soul growth. We can change how we look to look like her and to look better. We can change our jobs to climb the corporate ladder of success, but all of that doesn't produce growth. It's just change. It's easy to look at someone else and think, man, she has it really going on. You know, the Instagram moms, the house is perfect, the kids are perfect. They see her talking to her kids and she's so calm and nice and peaceful. And you're seeing 95% of it, and what you don't see is the other 5%, like the rest of us, who are yelling and screaming because their kids are acting like wild banshees. We fall into the comparison trap and it keeps us from true growth. We'll change, but it doesn't produce growth. Fear keeps us changing, but not growing. The fear of being vulnerable, the fear of opening up and being hurt, the fear of being not good enough. I'm afraid that if I even try, I will fail and I still won't be good enough. So we shrink back, we don't try because we've tried before and we were hurt by those we loved, and all we hear are those little lies in the back of our head, that record player. I like to call it the whisper lies. You almost can't hear them because they're so faint, but you can definitely hear them, and they play over and over again, reminding you of your failure and reminding you where you tried and you didn't quite make it. If I'm being honest, I've missed a lot of growth opportunities in my life because I confused change with growth. I allowed a lot of things around me to change. I had a baby and that changed, and I used all of those excuses for why I couldn't grow, why I couldn't step out and do this. Well, I just had a baby, so I can't really do that right now. I'm so sorry, I'm so busy. I just had a second baby, I'm really sorry. I really can't do that right now. Things are really busy. I have these two kids and they're both in diapers. And then I have a third baby and it's just really too hard. I'm very tired. I have a lot of things on my plate. My husband works full time. He works like 60 hours a week and he's never home, and so I just can't really do it. And then I have a fourth kid, so just call it quits. I have too much on my plate. I cannot step out and do it. I used all of those excuses. And while they're good excuses, they allow a lot of change, but not real growth. And as moms, our lives do change drastically. But change does not equal growth. A lot of external changes happen, but what is going on the inside of us? What is changing and growing on the inside of us? God wants us to grow so that we can know Him. God wants us to grow so that we can know the fullness of His love for us. God wants us to grow so that we can know the height and the depth, so that we can know His mercy and His grace and His compassion. He wants us to grow so that we can know Him. And if we're just sitting back on the sidelines of our life with our kids or our jobs or whatever it may be for you, we will forever be changing because change is inevitable. But are we actually growing? Psalm 34:8 says, to taste and see that the Lord is good. And you know, I got to thinking, somebody asked me the other day what I'm looking forward to the most after quarantine life is over. And the thing I'm looking forward to the most is just going on a simple date with Eric. Just, it doesn't have to be fancy, just take me somewhere nice. But what if Eric and I were out to dinner and he ordered a really nice steak with all the delicious sides, and he ordered for me, which I hate, by the way, and he just said, oh, she'll just have a glass of milk. I would probably smack him because I've graduated from the milk. I can eat the steak and I enjoy the steak. I've had the steak before and I really like it. It is really good. And in Psalms it says to taste and see that the Lord is good. When you get a little taste of His goodness, when you get a little taste of His kindness, when you get a little taste of the peace, you understand that it is good. And it just keeps getting better. Growing in our faith and growing in our relationship with Jesus is like eating a really good steak. Once you eat the steak, you cannot go back to the milk. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and grow and know of his goodness, of his love. Sometimes it tastes like forgiveness. Sometimes it tastes like peace. Sometimes it tastes like mercy. Taste and see that he is good. Looking back at the scripture, I think Paul was probably a little bummed out. In 1 Corinthians 3 is where we're at, that the Corinthians had not matured in their faith. He left them as baby Christians on the milk, on the spiritual baby food. And he says that when he comes back, he says, "You still aren't ready." I can just hear him like exasperated. "You still aren't ready. You're still controlled by your own sinful desires." Even though they had been a part of this church for some time, they were still on the milk and hadn't graduated to the really good stuff. Some of them probably greeters and ushers. Some of them maybe even the holy nursery workers. That's where the holy place is. Some of them worship leaders. They had not matured in their faith. They were doing all of these things, and they had changed all of these things, and that's what he had heard of. But he came back, and he did not see real growth. They were still controlled by their sinful desires and not by the Spirit. So how do we resist just changing and being perpetually adolescent in our faith? How do we not just change, but grow? In Galatians 5:16, it says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." People who grow live by the Spirit. It's easy to let our sinful nature control us. It's easy to fall back into the same traps, the same sin, the same addiction. But as a new creation in Christ, we should be living by the Spirit, by God's design, by his standards. Our way of life should look different than it used to. You know, when I go to the gym, then coronavirus happened and I changed it from COVID-19 to COVID-15, kind of like the freshman 15. Maybe it's COVID-20 for you. Insert whatever number, that's between you and the Lord, and you do not have to tell me that. But I realized when I go to the gym, I do not get any results by signing up for a gym membership. I don't even get results walking into the gym. I don't get results going to one class. I don't get results doing one repetition or one workout. I only get results if I'm consistent in going to the gym, lifting the weights, and doing the cardio over and over and over again. And I think as Christians, we fall back into the same types of sinful nature behavior because we're not consistent in doing the things that are living by the Spirit. It's easy for me to sit at home and eat bonbons. Isn't that what you guys think that we do all day? It's easy for me to eat the pizza and all that stuff. That is easy. That comes naturally for me. It's hard to put in the work. But the reward only comes when you put in the hard work. The reward comes when you live by the Spirit, and the reward is a transformed life. In my life, there was a time in my college years that I really was in constant turmoil in my mind, and it was kind of caught me off guard because I was raised in a Christian home and in church and in all the things, but I was in constant turmoil, and I went in and out of waves of deep, deep sadness at that point in my life. And I realized quickly that it was because of an ungod relationship that I had not cut off. I knew it was not of God. I wasn't happy. I didn't really even like the person anymore, but I could not let it go. I had even changed a lot of things. I had moved at the time from Oklahoma to Los Angeles, California. I had changed my occupation. I changed my hair, actually, changed my phone number at one time, and it still kept coming back. I couldn't fully move forward and let go of that relationship until I went to Bible college and I took a class that was based off of a book called Battlefield of the Mind. And the premise was simple, that our mind is a battlefield. We are at war, sin versus good, good versus bad, and we're in a constant war in our mind. It's a war between the spirit and the flesh, between good and evil. And the only way to win that war was with the word of God. So I created a little game plan for myself. And I found a stack of sticky notes and I wrote a different scripture on each sticky note. And I placed them everywhere I could possibly look. On my bedside table, on my lamp, on my mirror, in my closet, on the dash of my car while I was driving. I put it in my wallet. So when I opened up my wallet to pay for something, it was there. And I was constantly reciting and seeing the word of God. And I was replaying those scriptures over and over in my mind. Hebrews 12:1 says, to let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. In order to let go of the relationship and the sadness and the turmoil that was in, I had to pick up something else. I had to make an exchange, good versus evil. I had to let go of the sinful nature, the things that entangled me, but I had to pick up something else. I needed a weapon to help me forge the way, to help me move forward in living by the Spirit, and that was by the Word of God. In order to experience change that results in actual soul growth, we have to put in the work, just like at the gym. In order to grow in the spirit and not be controlled by our sinful nature, we have to change the way we're acting, change the way we're living, so that our life will start to look different, so it doesn't look like it used to. In order to live by the Spirit, you have to follow the Word of God. He gives us a game plan right in his word, and that is the game plan for your life. His word is your weapon. And when you live by the Spirit, you have no choice but to change. It's inevitable. As you meditate on the word of God, your knowledge of who God is and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus expands. People who grow live by the Spirit. And people who grow stop the comparison game. I mentioned it before, but comparison keeps us changing, but never growing. In our text in verse 3, after Paul says, you're controlled by your own sinful desires. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. How many of you have been there? We all have. It's the comparison trap. Quickly turns into the jealousy trap. And so easily we fall into this. I have so many times as a mom, looking to the left and to the right on Instagram, whatever it is, I have to shut it off sometimes because it's always there. There's always somebody better. There's always somebody doing something more. Man, if I was only like her, my life would be different. My marriage would be different. I would be way more confident. We all do it, not just moms and not just women. Comparison isn't just a trap for women. It's a trap for all of us. We develop this unhealthy drive for success, always having to get to the top to beat the other guy and keep up with the Joneses. And while we're spending so much time looking at what everyone else is doing, we're forgetting our own unique God-given design and neglecting the gifts that he has placed in each of us that are so unique to each of us personally. We're neglecting those things in us. We're neglecting the people around us that he has given to us to help us along this path. How many of you have ever asked God, why did you make me like this? I have. Why do I have this personality? Why is my body shaped like this? Why am I even this race? Why am I like the way I am? Why did you not give me those gifts, God? I've done it. Even in writing this message, I kept saying, why can't I just do this? Or why can't I say this like you? And Eric kept saying, get out of your own head. And it was. It's me in my own head. It's me allowing those little whisper lies of the enemy to tell me, I'm not enough. I can't do it. I'm not like you. I'm not like her. We can see a doctor about the way we look, and we can change things. And we can change things drastically sometimes. But we cannot change our DNA, the way that God made us and who he made us to be. You are exactly who God intended you to be. And he created you with the body and the personality and the gifts and the talents for you to accomplish the plans and the destiny he has for your life. Nobody else can do that. As a mom, I say this to my kids a lot. You know, Ella is getting a little older and she's starting to realize like she looks different from other people or people make comments about this. And I always tell her, you are you. God created you exactly the way that you are. You're not supposed to look like anybody else. If you're a teacher or maybe even a mom, you'll know this theologian who said, today you are you. That is truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you.
I tell my kids that all the time. I don't want them to be anybody different. And guess what? God doesn't want you to be anybody different. He doesn't even want to change your DNA, but he does want to change your destiny. If we allow ourselves to focus on him, his grace and his strength and his mercy, and we take our focus off of other people's lives and what we think it should look like and what we think we should do, we will exchange just change for true soul growth. God has designed your DNA and your destiny just for you. We must grow so that we know his destiny for our lives. In 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5, it says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones and being built into a spiritual house, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Lastly, we resist just changing and actually growing by coming to the living stone, which is Jesus Christ. We do that by becoming Christ followers. Those who grow become Christ followers. Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians to say, you are acting like people who don't even belong to the Lord. Hello, do you know anybody like that? Which one of you says, I'm a follower of Paul, and the other says, I prefer Apollos? Aren't you acting like those who are not Christians? When I had my first baby, Ella, I became a mother. And had I just sat on the couch and let her fend for herself, there probably wouldn't have been much growth. Things would have probably been a disaster. But I wonder what kind of growth in her would have taken place. Probably none at all. So if I become a Christian, technically I am a Christian, but if I'm not on a consistent walk with Jesus and pursuing him and following him, then am I actually a Christ follower? I remember after I had Ella, I didn't ever want to leave her. I was like the over-the-top mom, so much so that I ended up not, the plan was for me to go back to work, but I didn't go back to work. I didn't care if we were poor. I just wanted to be with my baby all the time. I was an over-the-top mom, and Eric was an over-the-top dad, if you can imagine that. Every person that came into our home had to hand sanitize with the giant bottle of hand sanitizer that was sitting on our ottoman. And after they hand sanitized, they had to then go wash their hands with hot water and soap to get the hand sanitizer off. That's what Eric did. I thought that the baby stage was the best. I wanted to bottle it up. I never wanted her to grow because it was so much fun. But as she grew, she turned one and things got better. It was so much fun to see her toddle around and try to walk. And then she turned two and she started talking and like we still couldn't understand her, but it was so fun. And I thought, for sure, this is the best. But she continued to grow. She turned three and we never had those like terrible twos or terrible threes with Ella, don't worry. I got super high on my mom horse and probably judged all the other moms, and God slowly humbled me with each kid I had because we have experienced now some terrible twos and some terrible threes. But we didn't have that with Ella. It just got better and better the more she grew. As Christ followers, we follow Christ and we follow Christ, and it just gets better and better. As we taste and we see that he is good, it just gets better and better. We pass on the milk because we've outgrown that. We can handle something more. We can handle some more substance. We can handle something more substantial. We're eating the good stuff now. We're allowing him to set the direction for our life, and we actually are really enjoying it. And it's better than we ever thought it could be. He's setting the desires of our heart, and the desires of our heart are in line with him, and we're having so much fun. It's good, and it's just getting better as we follow him. Our priorities change as we follow Christ. It's no longer a chore to pray and spend time with him. It's a privilege. We love going to church. We love inviting our friends. Our friends are seeing a change in us. They see something different because we've pursued him and we've followed him. We haven't just become Christians and stayed the same and stayed on the baby food. We've continued to pursue him and eat the good stuff. We've experienced the really good stuff and we act differently now. As we continue to follow Jesus, growth is not optional. It's inevitable. It will happen. Things around us won't just change. We will continue. We will start growing on the inside. God's plan for you is to grow. It is not to stay the same. It's not to stay a baby. It's not to stay dealing and fighting over the same sinful nature. It's not to keep falling back into the same traps. It is to move past those things as individuals. He wants you to grow so that you can know who He really is. And God's plan for our church, Victory City Church, is that we grow. Numerically, yes, because that means more souls are coming to Jesus. But it's also that as individuals grow, our church grows stronger. Our church grows deeper in our faith. It grows deeper in our knowledge of who God really is, and stronger in our relationship with Him, stronger in our godly relationships with others within our community. If all we're doing is changing seats or changing churches or changing worship songs, we're not actually growing. What are we doing here? What are we doing if things around us are just changing, but we're not actually growing? So my question for you today is, where is God asking you to grow? He has a next step for all of us. Whether you're a new believer or you're a seasoned believer who's been saved for years and even decades, where is God asking you to grow? God's whole plan for your life is to grow closer and closer to Jesus. God sent His Son Jesus to save us from our sin, from that sinful nature that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 3. He wants us to experience the spirit nature. He wants us to experience all the goodness that there is in Jesus Christ, an authentic and real relationship with Him. He wants that for you. No matter where you've been or where you've come from, He wants that for you. It's not about following a list of do's and don'ts. It's about being a follower of Jesus Christ. And those who grow are followers of Jesus Christ. I think we all have a next step. For some of us, maybe it's reading our word and attending church when the doors do open. But for some of you, maybe you haven't taken the first step, which is asking Jesus to come into your heart. And I would love to give you that opportunity today for you to start living by the Spirit and becoming a Christ follower. There is nothing more joy-filled, there is nothing more peaceful than following Jesus and being a follower of Him and a disciple of Jesus Christ. So if that's you today, maybe you've never said that prayer. Maybe you want to grow. Maybe things around you keep changing, but you don't feel like anything is changing on the inside. The external looks different, but the internal has remained the same. You keep falling into the same traps, the same sin, the same stuff that you've always fallen into because you haven't taken the first step, which is asking Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life. I would love to give you that opportunity today. So wherever you're at, maybe you're in your car or at home, if you'll bow your heads with me and repeat this simple prayer after me. Dear Lord, I come to You today with my sinful nature, and I exchange that for Your spirit nature. I ask You to be the Lord of my life, to come in my heart and save me, to forgive me of my sins, to take the sin out and replace it with Your Spirit. From this day forward, I want to follow after You, Jesus, and be a Christ follower. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you said that prayer for the first time, or maybe it's the fifth time, we celebrate with you. We want to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. In Victory City Church, I know God's plan for us as individuals and as a church is that we don't just continue changing the things around us, but that we grow on the inside. So whatever that next step is for you, don't play the comparison game. Don't fall into the trap of looking around to the right and the left. Don't fall into the trap of just letting the external change. But allow yourself to grow and take your next step in Jesus. If you did say that prayer for the first time, there's a connect card right below this screen. There's a link you can press. Will you just fill that out and let us know? We want to rejoice with you, and we would love to get in touch with you this week and help you with your next steps and help you grow in Christ. I'm so honored that you tuned in this morning. Again, happy Mother's Day. Follow us on social media this week for an encouraging word and to stay up to date with Victory City Church. Have a great week.